Lifestyle matters. It's more than money.
Rob here, here with my co-host, Dave. Dave, how are you?
I'm good, Rob. How about you?
You know what? Not bad. Not bad. It's been an interesting last week.
Yeah, well, there's lots of big stories I think we need to cover off and perhaps make some sense of them, right? There was some uncertainty from a geopolitical perspective and some interesting economic data. What does all that mean? And, you know, how does it affect the average person? We want to talk about travel again, too, because travel's getting expensive for a lot of people. We hear this all the time. But there's some alternative ways to travel that can get some really cool experiences and actually lighten the financial load quite considerably. So we'll talk about some of those. I think people will find them interesting.
I like that, because we talk about alternative investments. So alternative travel, that'll be nice.
Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun, I think. And what else we got today? Let's talk a little bit about the boomerang retirement and, first of all, what it is. And could you, the listener, actually be in for a boomerang retirement, right?
I like that. I know what the Aussie flying implement is, but retirement.
What is it? Okay. Well, let's talk. You were reporting the news this week, and maybe we should talk a little bit about some of the big stories, and then what does it mean?
Yeah. We'll go from the start here, and we'll talk about geopolitical unrest because that reared its ugly head this week, and then some threats of retaliation into some major energy supply centers.
Right, and so we did see oil prices spike. Mm-hmm. I think the Biden administration sort of helped that a little bit, you know, talking about potential attacks on infrastructure in some of the OPEC plus countries. And, you know, so what does that mean? I mean, if we see oil prices spiking, and you know, the crazy thing is I heard $200 oil. Mm-hmm. Now, nobody's predicting $200 oil, but if this and that and the other thing happened, boy, we could be at $200 oil again, right? And if that happens, we got a couple of problems. If you're going to go fill up your car and you got $200 oil, boy, that's going to hurt.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah.
I'm talking, yes.
Everybody's going to feel that one. From a broader perspective, I don't think most people think of oil, particularly in the city of Calgary, as a tax. But for the most of the world that doesn't produce oil, right? They're net buyers of oil. It's a tax. It's a tax on people and it's a tax on their economies. So, you know, depending on how that geopolitical risk evolves, right? It could affect everything from you filling up your car. How do your groceries get to the grocery store? Right. Well, they probably are trucked in from somewhere, right? Or the trains. So there's oil in that supply chain. All of these things start to get impacted again.
Well, you can look around a room. This room in general, how many products are built on petroleum?
Right.
It's pretty wild.
Yeah. So I think that that's an area we've got to keep our eye on. Now, the geopolitical risks, quite frankly, tend to be rather short lived, right? They can be abrupt and it can be unsettling and create spikes in markets for short periods of time, but they tend to be relatively short-lived versus the bigger, broader economic cycles.
But they do create that feeling of uncertainty, especially when you're watching the news and seeing missiles fly and you start to get, you know, the feelings of what happened back, you know, in history.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. The headlines can get very scary. But we did get some pretty big economic news that the market was looking for this past week in terms of U.S. jobs unemployment rate. Yeah. What'd you report there?
Yeah, here's the thing on U.S. jobs, and this came out late in the week on Friday, and the upside number and the amount of jobs created in the U.S. was massive, over 100,000 more than expected.
Yeah,
right. So the print was shocking, right? And the market reacted. Off the hop, good news is good news. This is good for the economy. This is good for business.
Right. If people are working, that means they are stable and they can spend money. And that's 70% of our economy, right? So from an economic perspective, people having jobs is a good news story.
Yeah. This is what I saw, though. This is what happened. And you can see this reversal happen a lot, is that once one newsprint happens, instantly the news goes to what's next. And if everyone has a job and everyone is working, and wages got a slight increase.
Yeah.
Unemployment was down slightly.
Right.
Everyone can spend. What does that mean?
Right. Could mean inflationary pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Could mean that we saw the bond markets react to that data by pricing out more of the a probability of a 50 basis point cut again, now more of a 25 basis point. So we saw bond yields adjusting and bond prices adjusting around that expectation. But why do Canadians care about U.S. employment?
Well, we're tied to them.
Yeah, we are.
That's the unfortunate part, right? I mean, we'll talk about trade here in a second too, but interest rates rising in the U.S., right? Or sorry, interest rates mm-hmm. coming down in the U.S. Mm-hmm. does affect us.
Well, it does. And you saw our currency weaken, right, mm-hmm. on that news this morning. So, you know, if you're worried about a weak currency and you're going to be snowbirding down in the United States, well, a strong employment number in the U.S. with an implication that the Fed has to reduce rates slower means the U.S. dollar goes up in value. Yeah. Your trip down to the United States just got more expensive.
Yeah, you right? got it.
So we are very closely connected to the United States, and sometimes I get questions about that. I'm sure you do too. Why do you guys always talk about the U.S.? Well, the fact of the matter is they're the largest economy by a long stretch, and they're our biggest trading partner. So we are inextricably linked to the United States, but globally, the entire global economy runs through the U.S. So we do need to pay attention to what's happening there because it will have an implication far beyond their borders.
Right. Right.
What else? How about the port, the supply chain?
Ooh, supply chain. This is a big one. Hey, we'll go back to you. How does it affect Canada? We'll get to that in a second too, right? But suspended, diverted. I'll use the word diverted. Mm-hmm. We diverted a full-blown strike after 3 days in Montreal and on the U.S. Eastern and Gulf border. Right? So about 50% of ports in the U.S. were affected by that. They suspended this till January, right? So there's a few reasons for that. We got an election coming up. No one wants that hanging over their head during election. Good news stories. Port workers got a short-term contract. They got a bigger raise, right? So that's good. For the economy, right? They got transportation of goods, right? Christmas is saved, so to speak.
Right.
Right.
You know, it was interesting, though. Yes, they got I was thinking about the U.S. in particular. They did get some an increase in wages, which, again, that could be inflationary. But you know what the big issue is automation. Right. Mm-hmm. So, port workers are worried about robots and automation coming in and actually taking their jobs, never mind getting a raise or even keeping their wage where it's at. Will they have a job when the next contract comes open? Right. And I think there's a lot of unions that are really worried about this idea of automation and technology. And there's all kinds of emerging technology. We talk about AI all the time, but think about robotics, right? We hear more and more, and I think that's a trend we'll continue to hear about robotics, and not just the weird robots that, you know, that vacuum your carpet, but I'm talking about sort of human robots, right? That have hands that can manipulate different things. This is on the horizon, not so far out. And that could actually be, start replacing people, and we've got a whole different set of problems then.
Absolutely. Well, efficiency on a good side of it, but employment, that is not good for them going forward, right? So I think that they short term they solve this, right? Into Canada is more what I saw, because people say, well, okay, it's our biggest trading partner. Right. So perishable food was the biggest concern. Right.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Apparently, Philadelphia is the biggest port for bananas on Earth.
On Earth. On Earth. Comes from. Okay.
So
so we saved the banana supply.
The banana. The banana price.
The banana prices. Yeah.
$12 bananas.
Jeez, yeah.
So there's certain perishable items, auto parts. Right.
Yeah.
The trade coming up into Canada.
Yeah.
Is huge. Montreal had their own strike. So I think that is an issue that, a lot of Canadian companies are struggling with, the supply chain. We've had floods, we've had train strikes, we've had potential port strikes on the West Coast, all of this. How do you plan for that going forward?
Yeah, well, that's a great question, and it's going to be an ongoing problem. Okay, listen, it's been an interesting week. Let's wrap that up. We've got a seminar coming up, so we've got to make sense of all this. You do have to plan for the unplanned, not just businesses, but people and their lifestyles, as they move into retirement. We've got a seminar to help address that.
Yeah, you got it, Dave. Our next seminar is in Calgary on Tuesday, October 29th, 7 p.m. in person at the Hamptons Golf and Country Club. Go to morethanmoneyradio.com or connect with us on Facebook to register.
Are you going to make your family members, kids perhaps, your power of attorney? There's some potential problems with that. Stick around after the break. You're on QR Calgary and More Than Money.